Good afternoon. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the Old Testament book of Daniel, chapter 9. Daniel, chapter 9. Thank you for being here this afternoon. Glad to see all of you here. Glad we can be together to worship our God. At the risk of sounding pessimistic, nations, local churches, and especially individuals have a history that is mostly not good. Injustice, violence, prejudice, racism are not good. But they serve as reminders that we should not forget history. One of the unique things about the Bible is that God shows the failures, the blemishes, the warts, if you will, of His people. The Bible's Hall of Fame, that is sometimes referred to in the New Testament book of Hebrews, chapter 11, could just as easily be known as the Hall of Shame. Noah got drunk. Abraham lied. David committed adultery and murder. John the Baptist had doubts. Peter denied the Lord three times. The history of nations is not pretty. Israel and Judah in Old Testament times spent a long time bowing down to idols. Oh, they were faithful to God for a while. But the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, in fact, the last word in the Old Testament, in Malachi chapter 4 and verse 6, is the word curse. And that word pretty much sums up the history of Israel and Judah as a whole. Even New Testament churches were plagued with problems. The church at Corinth had plenty of them. We can read about those in 1 Corinthians. In the book of Revelation, the church at Ephesus had lost its first love. Also in the book of Revelation, we read about the church at Sardis, that they had a name, that they were living, but they were dead. And the church at Laodicea, that is also mentioned in the book of Revelation, was lukewarm. They weren't hot, they weren't cold. They were right in the middle, lukewarm. Messy nations, messy local churches, and messy individual lives. It's not a pretty picture. The pages of the Bible are reminders of these blunders, of these failures, of these sins. And so obviously that raises questions. Why did God preserve these dark pages in the Bible? Why do we need to know, for example, about Noah's drunkenness? Why can't we just tear those pages of the Bible out? I know some people have. But just because we tear out certain pages of the Bible we don't like, that doesn't mean it shouldn't be there. And why not just show all the good stuff that we read about in the Bible? There is a lot of good stuff there. Why not just show all and read all the good stuff? In Daniel chapter 9, the prophet Daniel offered a prayer to God. And it basically has two parts. The first part is in verses 3 to 15, which is basically a confession of Israel's sin. And the second part, in verses 16 through 19, is Daniel's plea for God to show His mercy upon His people. Let's read this together. Daniel chapter 9, beginning at verse 3. Daniel said, "Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes." That activity in verse 3 was typical of the time when there was grief and mourning among God's people in Old Testament times. In verse 4, Daniel prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, "O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps His covenant and mercy with those who love Him and with those who keep His commandments, we have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from Your precepts and Your judgments. Neither have we heeded Your servants, the prophets, who spoke in Your name to our kings and our princes, to our fathers and all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs to You, but to us shame of face, as it is this day, to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, those near and those far off in all the countries to which You have driven them, because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against You. O Lord, to us belongs shame of face, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, because we have sinned against You. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against Him. We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in His laws, which He set before us by His servants, the prophets. Yes, all Israel has transgressed Your law and has departed so as not to obey Your voice. Therefore, the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against Him. And He has confirmed His words, which He spoke against us and against our judges who judged us, by bringing upon us a great disaster, by bringing upon us this great disaster, for under the whole heaven, such as has never been done as what has been done to Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us. Yet we have not made our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand Your truth. Therefore, the Lord has kept the disaster in mind and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all the works which He does, though we have not obeyed His voice. O now, O Lord our God, who brought Your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and made Yourself a name, as it is this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all Your righteousness, I pray, let Your anger and Your fury be turned away from Your city Jerusalem, Your holy mountain. Because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and Your people are a reproach to all those around us. Now therefore, our God, hear the prayer of Your servant and his supplications. And for the Lord's sake, cause Your face to shine on Your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline Your ear and hear. Open Your eyes and see our desolations, and the city which is called by Your name. For we do not present our supplications before You because of our righteous deeds, but because of Your great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for Your own sake, my God, for Your city and Your people are called by Your name. Daniel offered this prayer to God on behalf of Israel and on his own behalf. It is remarkable that Daniel identifies himself with the sins of his people. He said, "We have sinned." He included himself in that. What's interesting about that is that nowhere in the book of Daniel, nowhere in the Bible, as a matter of fact, is there one recorded blemish in Daniel's life. Not one. He was a man of faith, a man of courage, a man of prayer. In fact, Ezekiel, in Ezekiel chapter 14, another prophet of God, included Daniel along with Noah and Job as a representative of righteousness. Daniel lived such a good life that even his enemies could not find fault in his actions. And that's specifically stated in the book of Daniel, chapter 6 and verses 4 and 5. Remarkable character. Daniel was a godly man, a pure man, a righteous man. And yet, he knew, as all of us should know, that ultimately he was a sinner. In need of God's grace, in need of God's mercy, in need of God's love. Just like us. Romans 3:23 pretty well sums it up when Paul said that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In this prayer of Daniel, he understood that Israel's problem and his problem was sin. He didn't try to make things better than what they really were when he was praying to God. He did not ignore sin. He included himself in the failure of Israel to heed the voice of God's prophets. Although Daniel was a prophet of God himself, he didn't excuse himself from hearing and heeding the other prophets of God. He was very specific in his confession of sins. Repeatedly and in different words, he confesses his sins and the sins of God's people. He realized, and we need to realize too, that the right way to deal with our sins is to admit them, to confess them. Not deny them, not cover them up, not justify them, but admit them, confess them, acknowledge them. In his prayer, Daniel identified himself with his people, as we've already mentioned. He understood that Israel's problem, that his problem was sin, transgression of God's law. But also in this prayer, he repeatedly acknowledges and makes reference to the nature of the God of heaven. He realized that when he confessed his sins and the sins of his people, not only did he just confess the sins, but he also confessed because of who he confessed their sins to. He confessed them to the God of heaven. Daniel certainly did not blame God for what came upon Israel. He said repeatedly, this wasn't God's fault that all this disaster fell upon us. God is righteous. God wasn't to blame for the troubles that God's people had gotten into. In fact, in this prayer, Daniel repeatedly speaks of God's righteousness. So he acknowledged the nature of God. And we need to do the same thing. We need to understand that our basic problem is sin. And that the way to deal with that is to admit it, to confess it, and understand to whom it is we confess those sins. David, in the 51st Psalm in verse 1, said against you, you only have I sinned. Now, he didn't mean by that that there wasn't times when he sinned against other people, because he certainly did. But ultimately, he understood, and we all need to understand, that sin is against God. Several times in this prayer, Daniel said that open shame belonged to Israel and Judah. Open shame. Dare I say, open shame belongs to our nation too? Now that's not to deny that there are not any good things going on in our country or in our world. There are. And we need to be thankful for all the good things that are going on and recognize those good things and be thankful for those good things, appreciate those good things. But at the same time, we have our dark pages too as a nation. Forgiveness, honesty, changing for the better. That's basically what needs to happen. That's what needs to happen here and throughout the world. We should not forget our dark pages. And the reason why we should not forget our dark pages is because if we do, we're going to repeat them. The one thing that we learn about history is that it often repeats itself. We should not forget our dark days as a nation, because if we do, we might very well repeat them. Now, we have a choice. We can dwell in those dark pages and believe that's all there is. And that obviously is not a pretty picture. Or we can also see that we can be good examples for others today. Now, the first part of that, obviously, like I just said, we shouldn't forget our history, the dark pages of our country. We can learn from those dark pages. But if we believe that that's all there is, then there's a void there. And we need to fill up that void and understand that we can also be good examples to others in our day. Just like Daniel was a good example in his day. There he was in the royal court of Babylon and the Medo-Persians. And he was a diamond in the rough. One man made a difference for good. Sometimes we get to thinking, well, the kind of things that we're doing that are good and right, that we get to thinking and get down on ourselves, well, what I'm doing is not counting for anything. It's not making things change for the better. Don't think like that. Don't think like that. You can make a difference for good. I can make a difference for good. Even though the nation goes down the tubes, down the drain, I can make a difference. You can make a difference. We can do that by letting our light shine. Like Peter said on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, he said, "Save yourselves." I tell you what, if we can do that, we're doing pretty good. Saving ourselves. Song we sometimes sing is "Dare to Stand Like Joshua," who said in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We need to make Joshua's resolve our resolve. We need to dare to be a Daniel and make a difference for good so that others can glorify God. Forgiveness means not only being forgiven by God, but also it means forgiving ourselves. We are not to live in the past. We are not to live in those dark pages, those dark moments. But we know from passages like in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 as Christians that we are to walk in the light as Jesus is in the light. Because of Jesus, those of us who are Christians, we've moved on to bigger and better things, spiritually speaking. We've done better. We now live, we now hope, we now love because of the grace of Christ. He's the difference maker in our lives. He's the answer to our sin problem. A remarkable prayer by a remarkable man. Now, let's elaborate a little bit on these dark pages that we read about in the Bible. Three things, or four things here. One thing that the dark pages of the Bible do for us, the lessons we can learn, they remind us what we should already know. We're not perfect. We show up on Sundays to worship God. We're dressed nicely with a smile on our face, and it's easy for others to look at us and to conclude that we don't have any problems, we don't have any struggles, we don't have any sins that we're wrestling with. But folks, let's be honest. That simply is not true. That is not true. Sometimes we question, maybe at times, whether or not we should even come to a public worship service of the church. Been there, done that. Sometimes we may think that we're right with God when we're really not right with God. Sometimes we can make ourselves look so perfect and present this perfect image to other people when we're not perfect. Some have described the church in a realistic way, and this is not to minimize or de-emphasize the glory of God's church from the divine standpoint. But from the human standpoint, it's not perfect because we are not perfect. It's more like a hospital. that's got sick people in it, sinful people in it, that need the blood of Jesus to cleanse them from their sins. And I include myself in that mess. I have struggles. You do too. We all do. We can try our best to make ourselves look so perfect, and a local church can do the same thing, to make itself look so good, to make us look so good that we have it all together without Jesus. We don't need Him in our lives. Excuse me? Did you say we don't need Jesus in our lives? That's not true. That is not true. The dark pages in the Bible are a reminder of the dark pages in our lives, personally. We all have them. It's called sin. It's because of those dark pages. That's why we need Jesus. Sometimes it's better to be realistic than to put forth an image of what we are not. We're not perfect. We struggle. We have good days. We have bad days. There are times when we forget to pray. There may be days that pass when we don't pray. Been there, done that. There are times when our attitudes are not right toward one another. We gossip, we fuss, we fight, we complain, we nitpick, we quarrel. Sometimes we just say the wrong words, do the wrong things, for which we have to and need to and must apologize and bite the bullet. Sometimes, though, we can be too prideful and selfish not to admit it and not to bite the bullet and not make it right. We can express feelings of prejudice, even in the church. But what all that tells us is simply this: we're all a work in progress. Every single one of us. We're all on this journey. And about this journey, none of us have arrived. None of us. None of us. Not yet. That's humbling to think about. But that's the truth. That's what's real. Another lesson we learn from the dark pages in the Bible, that without those dark pages, it is hard to find a connection with the people that we read about in the Bible. For example, there's Abraham, a man of great faith. But on one occasion, he was afraid and he lied. Been there, done that. We've been afraid. There have been times in our lives we've been afraid and we've lied. And then in the New Testament, there's that apostle of Christ who's sometimes referred to as Doubting Thomas. He had doubts about Jesus. He had doubts about Jesus' resurrection from the dead. You ever had doubts? Been there, done that? We all have. Let's be honest about it here. And when we have our doubts, we can relate to Thomas. There's a connection there. There's a connection to Abraham. Then there's the Apostle Peter, who so many times fired off his mouth without thinking. We've said things that we shouldn't have said. We've said things that hurt other people. But we look at Peter, who denied the Lord three times, who said things in the heat of the moment that he should not have said, and we get that. so we can relate to Him. The dark pages in the Bible don't justify our wrongs. They don't keep us in the wrong either. But they help us to see the mistakes that we make and to see what we need to do to correct those mistakes. These three men I've just mentioned, Abraham, Thomas, and Peter, they came to admit their wrong. They corrected them and were better as a result. They learned from them, and we do too. And we learn from our own mistakes, or should. And I know we've been talking about individuals here, but you know, a local church can have dark days too. But no local church is perfect. All of us are hopefully learning. All of us hopefully are growing. All of us make mistakes. All of us sin. But we all should be loving one another, helping one another, encouraging one another, because we all want to end up in the same place ultimately, and that's heaven. The dark pages in the Bible also show us God's justice and God's mercy. The justice part of it, we see when He punished those who disobeyed Him. And some of them, He killed them right on the spot for their disobedience. But with others, God showed His mercy. Like David. The dark pages in the Bible show us how serious we need to take God's word. And they also show us not only that we need to take it seriously, but also they show us that we need to be very, very careful with God's word. Very careful. The dark pages of the Bible finally are teaching moments. They are teaching moments. We can use them to help another generation not to make the same mistakes we did. Parents are not perfect. We make mistakes. For many parents, maybe including ourselves, our teenage years and our college years were not very pretty. In fact, they were messy. Some of us drank alcohol. Some of us took illicit drugs. Some of us committed fornication. Those things and others are all too common, even in our day and age. And as difficult as it is to go back to those dark pages, our experiences can help our young people. They can help our teenagers. When that teenage son or daughter asks, "Dad, did you ever get drunk?" What are we going to tell them? What are we going to say? Are we going to lie about that to keep up an image that's not true? Or are we going to use that dark period of our lives to show that teenager that teenager can make better choices than what we did? Now, we could remove all the dark pages out of the history books and out of our lives and pretend they never happened. We could do that. But I'm going to tell you, that's not going to do any good. And I'll tell you why it's not going to do any good. Because we're not going to learn anything by removing those dark pages. Or we can learn from those dark pages of history, learn from our mistakes, admit our wrongs, confess our sins, repent of our wrongs, and be better people as a result. We have that choice before us. See, they're teaching moments. Daniel's prayer here in Daniel chapter 9 shows us how important it is to confess our sins to God. And not only that, but it also shows us how important it is for us to depend upon the mercy of God. God kept these dark pages in the Bible for a reason. For several reasons, as a matter of fact. We need these pages. We need these lessons. We don't need to forget. This afternoon, if you're not a Christian, you can become one. You can be cleansed from the guilt of all of your past sins. Take care of those dark pages in your life. The stains, the blots, the warts, the blemishes of sin. By believing God, by believing His Son, by repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Jesus Christ, and by being baptized, being immersed in water in the name of Christ for the remission of sins. If we can be of help to you in that regard, please let us know. If, as a Christian, you've done things that are not right, you've sinned in public way, don't try to cover those things up or pretend that they didn't happen or hope that they'll go away without doing anything about it. Confess, repent, confess, pray, and ask for forgiveness. We're here to help. God is wanting us to do what's right so that we can be in a right relationship with Him. If you're subject to the invitation of Christ this afternoon, we invite you to come forward now while together we stand, while we sing.